Ciao ragazzi, and welcome back to another episode of the Feedly del Vesuvio podcast, the podcast for all things Napoli and Napoli-related content within Canada and the Greater Toronto area. This is Carmen, and alongside me is my co-host Serrano, and we both hope you enjoy this latest installment of our audio podcast. Be sure to follow us on our social media for any upcoming information and upcoming episodes. The link's in the description below. So without further ado, we have lots to talk about, so let's sit back, relax, and let's talk about it. Welcome back for the first time in Sede. How long has it been?
It's been a while. It's been at least a month, no?
I'd say like five. At least five months.
We did episode one.
We did episode one, and I think that was like 5 months ago.
No.
It's been a while. We did another like mini thing on this side. I might be getting confused,
but I don't know. Five months doesn't sound right. Well, maybe. Yeah. Damn, it's been that long.
5 months, and the prodigal sons have returned to another episode. The prodigal sons have returned to another episode of the Feedly del Vesuvio podcast, season 2, episode 2, I believe it is now. And you know, we're gonna keep it quick. We're just gonna let it play it out, let it be a little quick one, and we're gonna talk mainly about, you know, what we've seen within the last couple of weeks with this team, and which, quite honestly, Sede, I'm impressed.
Oh, big time.
I'm impressed.
It's in the title, you know, bend but don't break. You know, I want to kind of start seeing them, you know, dominate some games and not have to go behind, but the fact that they've been so resilient and just coming back in every single game this season, it's a promising trend. You know, if we know Napoli teams in the past have, you know, a lot of those games or a few of those games, we probably would have dropped points. But this team feels like they got a little bit of a swagger about them, and you know, they don't really get rattled. So hopefully we can start seeing them dominate games. But I'm feeling really good about the start to the season. Raff and Raff.
Thank you, boys. Raff, thank you. We're glad to be back, and thanks for joining in on this right now. And yeah, I got to agree with Serrano. Bend but don't break. That's the name of this episode, and that's basically the main theme that we're going to be talking about in this little mini podcast here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I get what you mean. Like, I would like our team to be more attacking in a sense, like taking the game and really using our attacking threats right from the get-go. But at the same time, I don't mind it because of the fact that I know eventually this team is going to score. Like, that's just in the back of my mind. I just know it's going to happen. And it's not like, is this team going to score like we saw last year, where there were some games where we just passed the ball for 90 minutes and we'd score one goal maybe.
And it's good that they know that they can win like this now. So we know how to win when we dominate and when we, you know, blow teams out of the water. But it's those, you know, tooth and nail, like, you know, fighting, grinding games that have always come to bite us in the back. In seasons past. So,
but the thing is, like, this is something that's also new for us because, as you just said, right, we are not used to seeing this team be so resilient, where if push comes to shove, they're able to make their way and get their way out of that situation where they can score those 2-3 goals that they need.
It reminds me of, like, almost like, you know, the Mazzari's Napoli was a lot like that. So I was getting a lot of, back in those days, vibes, you know, with the Cavani, Lavezzi, Amazic, like, you know, that was a team that could, you know, you could never count them out. So yeah, you know, it's a good comparison to have, right?
And just going off that again, like I said before, I don't care as much now as the fact that we are, you know, we're not taking the game. We're still like settling in too. You have to remember that, like, Spalletti being a new coach and he's still trying to implement his system with this team. So they're still trying to be, like, in a way, you know, trying to work their way in, trying to be a little bit, you know, comfortable with their new style of play.
The voice.
But at the same time, the thing that Spalletti that brought to this team that, honestly, I'm going to admit to it right now. I didn't see it at all. I had no foresight on this. Was the change in mentality where these guys are resilient to anything you throw at them. Anything. Doesn't matter what you put at them. Resilient. 2-0 to Leicester. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, these guys, they're not.
They're folding. Yeah.
The game's over. And
old Napoli would have folded there, man. 2-0 away in England.
1-0. They would have folded at 1-0. But then, you know, they score that first goal in a matter of half an hour. By the way, Osimhen is a monster. Love that guy. Without him, I don't think the game would have been the same either. But within a matter of half an hour, this team did not stop. They just kept moving forward. Nobody had their head down, which you saw from a lot of players last season, namely your captain, Insigne, a lot of the times did have, you know, like that mopey attitude, like kicking around.
He's a Euro champion now, so I hope his attitude has changed. Right?
That may have been another factor that contributed to their new mentality.
Definitely.
But being able to see this team, first of all, against Venezia, down to 10 men with a red card, missed a penalty, and they still put in 2 goals and win the game. Then they go up against, who was it? Genoa. 1-1 tie. And then Petagna, out of all the people, Petagna steps on the field, 85th minute, scores a game-winning header. Exactly. Then you go up against Juve. You give up a terrible goal in the first, like, 15 minutes of the game, and you still win 2-1.
Still win.
With a Juve that was playing Catenaccio because they just wanted to defend points.
Raf is saying we started the first 30 minutes of the season with adversity and still pulled it out. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
It's been the theme so far early on the season, and you know they've passed the test. But you know, we're gonna hopefully start seeing some more positive starts and some more dominating games from Napoli. You know, fingers crossed.
Exactly.
But even just the way Spalletti has the whole squad just kind of involved, like people coming off the bench are making impacts, and it feels like everybody feels involved, like, you know, with the collective.
Exactly.
And his in-game switches and substitutions have been something that we haven't seen. All due respect to Gattuso, but his in-game management is nowhere near what Spalletti's has been these past few games. And basically every substitution he's made has made an impact on the game and ultimately on the final result. So, so far, early report card is all A's, in my opinion, for Spalletti.
Exactly. And we just, the next banner that was going to come up, unbreakable and unbeatable, that's basically what we are right now. And honestly, I don't see it changing within the near future. I don't see this changing within the near future. I honestly don't even see it changing at all throughout the season. If they could already start off the season with this mentality that they can bend, but they can never break, it's going to be very hard to beat us. Any team. I don't care. On top of the fact that our team is probably the best in the league on paper. I think.
You think?
One of the best in the league.
I don't know, man.
I said one of the best. I didn't say the best. I said one of the best.
I thought you said the best. Okay. No, I said one of the best. I'll give you. We have good depth. Like, and imagine, like, we still haven't added Demme and Mertens to this squad right now. So
out too right now.
And Lobotka too. So we're going to have a nice problem. So we definitely got the squad and the depth. So if Spalletti keeps everybody happy and integrates them well, and we're playing like how we're playing, I can see us giving every team a lot of trouble. So,
exactly.
I don't want to say Scudetto yet, but you got to kind of wait until maybe the second round, and then you can maybe, see where you're at, and you can say, okay, maybe we can do the Scudetto, but
honestly,
will be in the hunt, I think.
To go on that, but like, I didn't expect Scudetto this year, to be honest with you. I just thought Spalletti was just, I didn't think this team was going to have such drastic changes in their mentality that they have right now.
Honestly, I'm even the last few seasons, even since we had Ancelotti, I always said this team is a fantastic team and a deep team. And,
yeah, of course.
And we got good young. We have a good mix of young and old and veterans and now in senior one. So like won the Euro. So he's, on a high, and he's by far, in my opinion, our best player, him and Koulibaly. So, I always thought this team had the potential to win the Scudetto, but we needed that killer mentality, that coach, and a left back, in my opinion. But let's see if we can manage without the left back.
Raf here is saying it's okay to say Scudetto. It's time that we start putting Napoli in the convo. Napoli they've always been in the see.
Always a bride, never a bride.
They've always been in the convo for the last like 8 years, maybe like 5 years. I'll say 5 years, maybe. For the last 5 years, Napoli's always been in the convo of a potential Scudetto winner.
Well, since Juve's been, you know, went on that long run, we've been number two. Like we've been
neck and neck with them. And the season that we get 91 points is the unfortunate season that Juventus wins a record for points made in a Scudetto season.
91 points gets you the Scudetto any other season.
I checked it in the previous 15 seasons, going back 15 years, they would have won the Scudetto 14 times. Think about that for a second. It's just unlucky, but they've always been in the contention of a Scudetto winner, specifically within the last few years. But now it's a matter of the fact that I don't see any other team being better, and I don't see any other team being as resilient as this team. And that's probably the main point that I want to drive here, is that
Any team can
be good. Every team, Milan's good, Inter's good.
But there's some good coaches, Carm. There's some really, like, Mourinho's a good coach.
Mourinho is very good.
But you got to be careful still. Like, there's some good teams, and then you got some coaches that can get the most out of these teams. So that's why this season is going to be fantastic. Like, you can't really pick one out of the group. It's anybody's. It's whoever, you know, takes it by the neck and runs with it. So we got to hope that we're that team that's going to take it by the neck and run with it. Cause right now it's anybody's Scudetto right now.
But like I said, unbreakable and unbeatable. Like these guys, I'm going back to this point, they bend, but don't break. It doesn't within the last few games, they should have had 0 points. They should have gone out those games with 0 points against Juve, maybe absolutely. 1 point against Genoa and no points against Leicester.
Yeah. I don't see us winning any three of those games last year.
Never. We never would have won with Ancelotti. We maybe would have scraped by a couple of points with Sarri at the helm. And God knows we wouldn't have won with Gattuso at the helm.
No.
So coming out of that.
But I don't think we would have won a game.
We wouldn't have won the game. And that's a point that I'm making here. Unbreakable and unbeatable.
Yes,
these
sir.
Guys are just constantly, I'm just going to say it again, resilient. And it's something that's really good to see. And it's had.
Look how happy you are. Look at the smiles. Exactly. I've never seen a smile this exactly. much
you've never seen on a smile podcast. Like this. Never. You've never seen me smile like this. And that's because, Sereno,
we're at Lost
Vibes are immaculate.
Yes.
I'm going to let you take this away.
So the vibe check. So let's get that SSCN vibes right now. Immaculate. The feeling around this team is just light and beautiful and you know, sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. And, you know, we can't be beaten. So the vibe check is they passed the vibe check from Sereno. Yeah, absolutely.
I think I got to agree with you. Honestly, if you know Sereno and I, and if you followed us on Twitter and watched us of recently within the last 2 years, you know that me and him are always a glass half empty type of guys where we're like,
I'm a little bit pessimistic
when it comes to talking about this team specifically. I wouldn't say about life in general, but when it comes about talking to this team, we've had enough experiences within our.
I'm also a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, so anybody that watches hockey knows that you know, when it comes to sports teams,
my
optimism is not very you know, high.
Being a Leaf fan and a Napoli fan does do a little bit of damage on the mental and in the optimistic sort of sense. But you know, like if you notice, we haven't stopped smiling since we got onto the spot. Apart from the fact that we're finally back and it's good to be back, but we are like. He says it here, Carmen is cheese, and I am. And it's just like, it's so good. It's so refreshing to see such a re-energized team. And in every sense of the fact, the physical, the mental, and any sense of the fact, this team is re-energized. And it's just something that I'm not saying.
Even, sorry to interrupt you, on a personal note, our club here in Toronto is feeling re-energized, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about that a little bit more later. But I just
we'll talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, it's a good point. Well, listen, when Napoli does good, everyone is in cloud nine, right?
Everyone's giving off a good vibe right now.
Exactly. Everyone else is giving off a good vibe, not even from the club, like on Twitter, from the people we interact with. Just in general, it's very nice to see this re-energized, revitalized sort
of. And also just to mix into the Verde Oliva vibe check, you know, how can the vibes not be good around here when we had the Prince in Toronto for 2 weeks? Just have to give Mohamed Salad a little shout out. We've been hosting him here for the last couple of weeks, and honestly, I'm sad that he's leaving because it seems like he was our good luck charm. So hopefully he comes back soon. But yeah, I know the vibe's been, that's another reason vibe's been really good around here.
Yeah, I gotta say that that meet we had with him for the Juve match, that was quite honestly one of the best experiences of my life.
For sure.
Starting from the match and then just like from him being here and getting to experience that with us. Like that was, I know it's probably one of his best experiences of his life, but it's probably one of mine as well.
No,
just sharing the experience. Me too. It was amazing. The flares after the game and all
that. That was the best match watching experience outside of being at the San Paolo or the Maradona now.
You know what? That's a good point.
That I've ever had.
That's a good point. And it's just like, it's nice that we have that place to ourselves, but that's others besides the fact. Let's get back to what we were talking about with this team. So we talked a little bit about the past games, the Juve game. Obviously, everyone knows what happened there, and I'm not going to reiterate what was said on other channels like the Raff and Raff Rant. They've talked about it ad nauseum. So I just want to go on into talking about what we think is going to happen next. So we're on to Udine for the next match. We are unbeaten. As we know right now, we haven't dropped a single point yet. So let's talk about Udinese first. Let's talk about that match for a little bit, and then we'll get on to our little prediction streak there.
Okay.
Today, go ahead.
Honestly, I don't see this streak ending. Like, I think bar having like a terrible game, which I don't think this team is going to have a bad game right now. We're kind of riding on a high. I'm not sure if anybody has the lineups, predicted lineups, but I think I saw Politano starting on the right, which, you know, I like that. He's been, you know, really in form lately. So
yeah.
I think that we should get a result tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be a blowout because Udinese hasn't been playing terrible. So
yes,
if I had to, you know, say a score, I would say maybe 2-0, 2-1 Napoli. And I think Osimhen scores again tomorrow because, you know, now the floodgates are open. He's, you know, gotten the two goals last game against Leicester. And
yeah,
just like last year when he got that first goal or when he got that monkey off his back, he ran with it. So I think we're going to see Osimhen score at least one goal tomorrow. So my prediction is 2-2. Let's say 2-1. I'll give Udinese a goal. 2-1.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good prediction. And you're right. Like Udinese, they've always been a game. And like as of recently, I think in the last four games they've won three and drawn one time. I can't remember who they played against. They
played Juve. They beat Juve. No,
they tied Juve. That's the game they tied.
Yeah,
they tied Juve because Chesney doesn't know what he's doing in goal. They beat Spezia. They beat Venezia. They tied Juve. I mean, not the strongest schedule, apart from the Juve fact, but Juve still isn't like, they're like this.
They're a little bit off. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little bit off, but they've always, and we're in Udine for this match. We have, I think the next few matches we're away, and they've always, like historically from what I remember off the top of my head, Udinese has always been a tough game.
For Napoli,
for a lot of teams too, but for Napoli specifically, they've always been, a tough sort of cagey match. But I do expect something different to come from this game. Because we're riding off that high from the Leicester game, which coming back 2-0 from Leicester at away with everything stacked against you, basically. I think they're gonna use that energy and ride off of it. And you say 2-1, I honestly think it's gonna be like 3-1, 3-0. I think.
God bless. I hope.
I think. And like, given.
I want to relax tomorrow. I want to watch a relaxing game.
Me too. I want to see a comfortable win. But
yeah, me too.
The other thing is like, what do we see from the lineup? Do you rest players for this game? Do you keep the same lineup against Leicester? That's the thing, because like Napoli's next fixtures.
Yeah, we got what, Cagliari on the 26th. So
we got the game tomorrow, and then we have a midweek match against Sampdoria, and then we play Cagliari, and then we play Spartak Moscow. So it's a big stretch of games coming up, and we have like a midweek match.
He's gonna have to rotate, but honestly, exactly. The harder game is gonna be Sampdoria. Sampdoria has been playing very well.
That's what I'm saying.
So like you got, and they won this morning.
Probably
want to rotate for Udine and then play a stronger team against Samp. Yeah. So
that's what I was thinking. Like instead of playing Politano, I'd play Unas.
I'm sure Lozano will get minutes. I'm sure everybody will kind of get a little bit of minutes.
Maybe you take Osimhen off a little bit before you play Petagna for a little bit. Maybe you keep you save. Oh, but thing is, our midfield's a little bit thin right now. You can't. Yeah. Lobotka isn't coming back for. No, I think
you're gonna have to ride Anguissa for a little.
Maybe you take off Elmas or Zielinski. Ruiz or Zielinski and play Elmas instead. Like you have to have some sort of rotation because of the fact
there'll definitely be some rotation. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of subs at a point, especially if Napoli gets ahead in the game, you'll probably start seeing, you know, Spalletti uses all of his subs or most of them.
Well, there's five. So like you can rest a good amount of players in that time.
Raph is asking if we got games every three. Oh, yeah, we do got games every 3-4 days in September. So, definitely he's going to have to dip into the squad, and hopefully getting some guys back is going to help out. But, yeah, this is another test for Spalletti. We'll see how he does. He's done good so far. So, hopefully his rotation is good. And it seems like everybody in this squad knows their role so far and looks very content. So, we'll see how that translates into, you know, some guys who traditionally were coming off the bench starting. So,
yes,
I think they're capable. I think everybody's capable. So I'd like to see Unas start a game. That would be really cool because he's so far been the most exciting player to watch.
Yes.
To be honest, him and Osimhen, but he's got like I don't know. I think he has potential to be even better. Unas. So
I think Unas is very. This is the thing that I like about this team, too, is that they're very flexible. I know Spalletti likes playing. His formation that he's played for his entire life is a 4-2-3-1 for every team that he's ever coached. But he's very flexible in changing it to a 4-3-3 and stuff like that. And this team fits both formations. And they can change it at the snap of a finger.
He changed it in the middle of the game. It seems like they play both.
No, Juve, we kind of played a 4-3-3 the entire match, but the genius of that game was playing Unas, and this is what I like to see again, is playing Unas in the center, playing Unas as number 10. Unas as number 10 caused a lot of problems.
Havoc.
He opened up a lot of space for Osimhen, and we have another question from Raf here. Will Osimhen start breaking out?
Absolutely. If he stays healthy and if he, you know, doesn't get red cards, he's going. He's flying.
100%. Specifically because of the fact that he has players like Mertens coming back, Unas, Zielinski, these are all creative players that allow him to play and open up space for a striker of his caliber. So, you know, using our players in such a effective manner, I got to say, like, this team, I'd like to see tomorrow specifically and, you know, rotating within the future, you know, 4-2-3-1 would be a good start. Maybe playing Unas in the middle, resting Zielinski, playing Elmas or playing Fabian and Anguissa, or maybe you can take Zielinski out and play Elmas. Yeah, like there's a bunch of things that you can switch.
I want to see them try to get Lozano going because he hasn't been playing terrible and he's like, you know, he's made some chances and he almost scored a few, but I really want to see him get the back of the net and, you know, start rolling like he was last year under Gattuso. So
here's another thing, though. Between Lozano, this is going to start, the debate's going to start again, but between Lozano and Politano, who do you start in the match? And I think I have my answer for this, but I want to hear you. I haven't heard your thoughts on this.
I like Lozano a lot. I think he plays very well with Osimhen. They have really good chemistry. I think he's still probably carrying a little bit of injury. Like he got really knocked around badly in the summer with Mexico. So I'm sure he's probably still nursing some injuries. Yeah, definitely. So you want to kind of get him to start going. I'm not sure if he's 100% fit, but seems like he is. So he's got to get his legs back. He's got to get his confidence back. So, you know, we got to see him. We got to put him in the positions to start getting his confidence back. So he's got to hopefully find the back of the net within these next couple of games. So I would start Lozano, to be honest.
Okay. I see that.
Sometimes even for a player like that, just having his name on the starting sheet, you know, can give you a good boost. Yeah. Poli, I would start probably against Sampdoria because, like I said, that's probably the harder of the two matches, and he's been a little bit more informed. So,
okay.
If it was me, if I was making the starting 11, I would put Lozano to start against Udinese. But
yeah,
it is a good problem to have. They're both fantastic wingers, both fantastic players for different reasons. So, and it's good, you know, for the coach to have that versatility of, you know, having those different styles, you know, depending on who you're playing, you know. Sometimes Politano matches up better, sometimes Lozano matches up better. So and definitely a good problem to have.
I was just about to bring up that point. It's a great problem to have, and I was just about to say that. But my view on this is that it's very match dependent.
Yeah.
In the sense that when we go up, for a perfect example, when we go up against Juventus, Lozano can't play against a defense that just sits back and just absorbs all the pressure because Lozano likes to create chaos. But you can't create chaos when there's already order, and he'd be rendered ineffective in a game like that. But if we're talking about, let's say, Udinese, for example, Udinese is very, sometimes when they're not focused defensively, they're very open. They are very open.
Or even teams that press high, dude. Like
exactly.
Lozano is
perfect. And they're very disorganized. They're very disorganized. So the fact that they're disorganized sometimes and they're very open in the back, I could agree with you. Starting Lozano for in this sense would probably be the best case scenario. But I think the best way as a whole to go around it is start Politano. And I'm going to agree with Salad on this because we talked about it too at the cafe.
We talked about that at length with him.
And then, yeah, we did. But he's right. And I'm going to say it right now. Start Politano because of the fact that he's a more technical player, obviously, very good on the ball. The only problem that I have with him is that him and Insigne are very two alike. They do the same things. So if a defense has your number and you have two players doing the exact same things, you've taken out two players out of the game and then you have no attacking threats.
Yeah.
But if you can utilize him in a sense where you just want to wear down that defense, make them play defense, make them play defense. You get tired when you play defense. You just keep them there playing defense. And then like at the 65th minute, you throw on someone like Lozano and Unas. It's a problem. It's a big problem to face. So for this sense, I think I agree with you in starting Lozano because he does need his spark. He does need to come back. I think his injury definitely didn't help. That injury he took with Mexico where he like split his face open.
Yeah, that was that didn't help scary.
That didn't help. But yeah, I think that set him back again a bit.
But it was good last game too, Carm. Like he had that chance, like that open header. Like if that hits the back of the net, like you know, we're talking about Lozano's back. You know, like
but he hasn't been as effective as he was last season, specifically the first half of last season.
Absolutely.
If we want to look back at it,
still early though.
It's still early. You know, he's just coming back from an injury. He's you know, it takes time. It takes time, but yeah, probably start him for the Udinese game. I'd probably start Unas as well. I'd play Lozano on the left and Unas on the right, giving Insigne and Politano a rest. Take Osimhen off at like the 65th minute, depending on how the game goes. Play Petagna. I'd probably rest Zielinski, play Elmas. Anguissa is going to start because we need a holding midfield, like a proper ball-winning midfielder.
For sure. And then at the end of the day, if you know, things go you know bad, you put them on the bench. You can sub them on, right? At
the defensively, half, it's really bad. I might even play Juan Jesus tomorrow. Defensively.
Maybe for left back.
That's what I mean. Sorry.
That was a disaster. Like,
yeah.
We didn't talk about that.
What, the Benevento game?
Against the Leicester game, those fullbacks.
Leicester.
Oh, my God.
I thought you meant the Benevento game. I was like, yeah, the Benevento game is like, it's whatever. We were playing.
Benevento, I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but the Leicester game, yeah, I agree. Those fullbacks, they're a problem. They were terrible. A big problem.
Yeah, so they got to do something different. They can't do that again.
No, but coming against Udinese, I think you can afford Juan Jesus to play.
Yeah, on the left, I would go Juan Jesus.
I think that's probably the best.
Dilo has to stay right back. He can't do left back. He's got to stay right back.
Exactly. All right. So now that we talked about that, unbeaten streak predictions. So I told you the games we play. We play Udinese. We play Samp. We play, I forgot the last one. We play Spartak Moscow near the end of the month. And then
Spartak. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as we're standing right now, Cagliari is tied with Lazio. They're at 1-1. Sampdoria won 3-0 today against Empoli. And Udinese's last match was a win. So, with this in mind, and Spartak Moscow, don't ask because I don't pay attention to the Russian league. So, having said this, how long do you think we can keep this run within this recent set of games? Then maybe we can even look after. But how long do you think we keep it?
What are we at right now? Three? Four?
Three. Oh, no. Four.
With
Leicester. We're counting Europa, too.
And then you said four games. I think we could. I don't see us losing any of those games. But you know, you never know. I think we get to 10, maybe.
10 games unbeaten. It's a nice 30 points to or 30 odd points, whatever it is. 20.
I don't see them winning all those games though. I'll say right now, like there'll be some ties.
There'll be ties. But ties they don't count as a loss, so it's still an unbeaten streak.
I still see us maybe having a lemon of a game and maybe tying. I don't see this team losing, like, to be honest, against those oppositions. I think a loss, I think a tie would feel like a loss against some teams, but I think the unbeaten streak could probably go maybe 10. When do we play a big team next?
October 24th against Roma. I think that might be our first loss.
That's going to be a tough game. Mourinho is a great coach,
man. I think Roma might be our first loss. But having said that, I thought we weren't going to lose to Spezia last season, and look what happened.
That's it. It's hard
to predict. That's a different season. That's a different mentality, different coach, different system, everything.
But the thing is that we're so short-term memory that say if Napoli does manage to like lose one of these games or tie,
I'm going to start saying
the sky would be falling. Like everybody's Spalletti, wrong coach, this and that. We're waiting for that to happen.
That's true.
I hope it doesn't, but you already know, like, we're a very emotional creature.
Yeah, we're very, very reactionary in a sense.
Yeah.
So. I think, 10 is probably a good number because we're at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So that's another.
When would the Roma game be? What game would that be if we were unbeaten up until that point?
That'd be match day 9. Match day 9, but then we have a couple Europa League games in between. So it'd be about like 11 games.
Are we playing them in Napoli or in,
no? We're playing away that game. I think
We might lose. We might lose that game, or we might.
That might be your first loss. 10. Or yeah, 10 is a fair answer.
10 is fair. Yeah.
I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna say 10 games.
That would be nice.
10 is very good. If you can win the first or not lose the first 10 games of your season, you're a third of the way through. That's a very nice setup for the rest of your season. Right. You can't win a Scudetto in October, but you can lose it in October.
You can lose it. Absolutely.
November.
We got to stay. And that's what I said at the beginning of the year. This team has potential to win, but we got to make sure we don't fall behind, especially with the new coach. And they seem to pass the test so far. So let's see if we can keep up the pace and you know, by January, February, that's when you kind of have the idea of, okay, go for this, or we could actually, like, this is realistic. So
even Milan last year, though, even in January, they start to fall off. Tottenham, same thing with the Premier League. They start to fall. So it's still difficult to see.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
Exactly.
But you got to be with the pack, right?
Yeah. And I think that's all we have to talk about in terms of Napoli today. Just, you know, we'll include this at the end of every episode just in case anyone in Toronto or the Greater Toronto Area is listening to this podcast. Just some news from our own club that we run, Napoli Club Toronto. Not much, honestly, not much going on. Memberships are still available if people do want to become a member. It's $25. You can just follow us on Instagram or our social media and get in contact with us for that. In terms of meetups, we will be having another one soon. So that what day did we say again?
It's for the Cagliari match. For the Cagliari match. So September 26th. And I believe that's this next Sunday at 2:45. Yeah.
Okay. So the next one, if people are, they want to come out, they want to join us, please feel free. I'm telling you, it's an experience. I don't have to tell you. You can ask a couple people like Salad, who just came to Toronto himself. It's an experience. It's
nice to watch the game with people like-minded, right? Like exactly. You and it's there's not a – well, I'm not going to say there's not a lot of us because that's what I used to say, but it seems like there is a lot of us in this – in the GTA. So
yeah, we packed out.
We got to stick together. So if anybody wants to join, if you haven't joined already, memberships are still available. And yeah, it's please a great experience.
Contact us. Feel free. A couple other things. In terms of Napoli gear, to be honest, Napoli gear, Tirano Italians is getting the new Armani stuff brought in. And if you are a member, you get 15% off for anything for Napoli related. So, or no, I think it's anything in the store, sorry. But for the kits that come in, so the kits, the hats, the stuff, all that, 15% off. We will be talking about it. Oh, we will post something when they do get their stuff in. And
I believe we get first dibs too. No,
we do. So that's another plus, right? So just letting everyone know that within the GTA, if you are still looking for Napoli gear in this city, we got you. Just wait for us to post something about it. We'll keep in contact with them, and when something does come up, we'll let you guys know about it. And finally, I think that's it. Actually, never mind.
That's it. I think we're good.
That's it.
We covered everything.
See you in 5 months. Another 5 months. See you later.
No. We'll be a little bit more consistent now.
We'll try our best. You know, sometimes life gets in the way. Like yesterday, we had some problems connecting. So it's just it's fine. But we're gonna try to be on time with it. Usually. Expect this to happen a day or 2 days before another match.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say a match is on a Sunday. Every 2 weeks, we will be on, like, that Friday before that Sunday to talk about the past weeks and about Napoli. So, what's up?
Well, we'll get some, let some games happen. Let some events
unfold, we'll leave,
and then we'll have some stuff to talk about, right?
So we'll let our boys from the Ref and Ref Rat take
the day to day, and then we'll take everything else.
Like, yeah, exactly.
We'll get everything all together, and then we'll make a little summary, right?
Exactly. So with that being said, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who followed and watched this stream. Please be sure to follow us on our social media. This podcast is at FDV Podcast on Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel that you're most likely watching from right now. Actually, you are watching from right now. It is on our YouTube page. And if you want to follow our personal accounts, well, I have mine here. Sereno doesn't have his up there. Set at Green Olive.
I'm kind of boring. Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm just Green Olive. Yeah.
Every day, this guy's doing something. You're not boring. And finally, our Twitter account for our club is at Napoli Club TO or Napoli Club Toronto on Instagram. So before we go, Forza Napoli.
Forza Napoli sempre.
This is a good start to the season. I can't wait.
I haven't stopped smiling this whole time.
Me too. I can't wait to see what happens within the coming weeks. Thank you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks everybody.
Forza Napoli sempre.
Ciao.